Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Ah, we're all gonna die.
So we are back. Good Lord, we are in post-first debate America. Things have gone on, and it's going to be a little crazy. And obviously, we normally would record this show a couple days early, but it got to the point where we thought, look, we can't go a week after and give our debate coverage because that would be foolish. So I've printed out 50 pages of the transcript from this debate. I have highlighted, I have put stars next to things. I have done my own fact checking where there are some things that were not fact checked. Andy is not even wearing pants. It's going to get fucking crazy. But before we get into the debate, just a couple of like housekeeping sort of things. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Look Forward Show. You can also find our website at lookforwardshow.com. So you can also interact with us a lot more, actually, if you go to lookforwardshow.com/fans and join our Facebook fan group. That's always a good time. We had a live thread in there where we had, I think, almost 800 messages back and forth over the course of the debate with other fans.
It was so much fucking fun. To everybody that was in there, thank you so much. You guys were hilarious.
Yeah, I kept posting just Lisa Simpson memes every time she did something well. it was a lot of fun, actually, and it's kind of cool to talk to sort of like-minded people. I mean, obviously, this is an echo chamber, but to talk to like-minded people and just kind of have fun with it, and it doesn't need to be angry or, you know, whatever. We save that for, you know, writing in the comments on Vox or something.
We've got a wide variety in there where there's enthusiastic Hillary supporters, there's like begrudging Hillary supporters, there's I think we have a Gary Johnson guy in there.
Yeah. So yeah, you got a little bit of it. We do not have any Trump supporters because I think
not a one. No. We can't get a single Trump person in there, probably because they wouldn't fare well, I don't think.
No. I feel like they would receive a drubbing that would not be kind to them.
But if you're out there, you're welcome. I have so many questions.
Yes. One, are you retarded? Question one. Is that a fair question? I don't know. I think it's probably not fair, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You're clearly a mental case.
Terrible, Jay. Mentally challenged.
Okay, that's fair.
Mentally challenged.
That's fair. That's fair. You're right. Thank you. I mean, we're liberals. We have to be better about this. Although I have totally gotten to the point where I just think conservative voters are stupid, and I don't even care anymore. Like, I know that's not right, but I mean, evidence. I'm an evidence based guy. What can I say? So before we do get into the debate, we do have two stories that sort of lead into the debate that we'll talk about. But I do also want to say thank you to people who have been sending in emails to our email account, which is feedback@lookforwardshow.com. We actually got two this week in reference to the debate. So before every show, we normally tape on Sundays. So anytime before Sunday at about 4 o'clock Eastern, if you get in your messages to feedback@lookforwardshow.com, we'll read them on air and we'll discuss them. So let's do that right now. The first one is from, what I imagine this translates to, Sandra? Sure. She says, well, it's because it's like, you know, it's fucking internet speak, so it's not.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it doesn't just say it. So Sandra says,
his name? Ted? I don't understand.
Like, who are you? What is your name? So Sandra says, I hope this message finds your private email servers well. I'm wondering what's your forecast on the next two presidential debates. It seems like Trump pulled out most of his rhetorical guns tonight. I'm surprised we haven't heard Benghazi yet. Does he attempt to pivot more to wonkery, or maybe tries to make the Clinton body bags mainstream? Does it hurt him, or are we talking about how Hillary was whitewatered next year? Thanks. Love the show. So what are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen in the next two debates? And do you think he's going to pivot? He's going to change?
I think there's a big question of whether he shows up at all. Giuliani said he shouldn't. which would be interesting if he just said, fuck that, I'm not showing up again. But I don't know. I think he's probably, if he does show up, would be much more heavily coached. And you know, because all the criticism of this, of him from this one is just, he was bonkers. So I don't, I know his instinct would be to be more bonkers, but I would imagine that his handlers are going to try to rein him in for future debates. But that would be my guess.
Yeah, I think that's largely true. I think that because he was so bonkers on this one, and we'll talk about that obviously in depth, because he was so crazy in this one, I think the go-to from Kellyanne Conway and the dude from Breitbart, whose name escapes me, Steve Bannon. I think that they're going to try to make him pivot to that sort of like, oh, I'm more presidential Trump. You know, like the second primary debate after Trump had officially kind of taken the lead, he was you should go back and watch part of it. Don't watch all of it because blood will shoot out of your fucking nose. But but like, there is a marketable difference between his demeanor in the first and second debate. Like, he's like, okay, I'm winning, so I won't like jump into the dirt as much. I'll let these guys fight it out to try to fight me. And he was much more reserved. I think that's the way they'll go. But the problem is, I don't know that he can hold it. And that sounds ridiculous talking about an adult, but I don't think he can. Like, I think he could get like maybe a good 30 minutes out of it, and then she would say something, and he would be like, you fucking bitch! And then he would just go crazy again.
That's the thing. He's never been in a one-on-one debate before this week.
Right.
Like, he was always in just a giant group of people where he could just step in occasionally, and then when it got really policy heavy, he would just stand back and let the nerds talk about stuff, and then he'd jump in occasionally, you know, and talk about his dick, and I mean, or whatever.
As he'd want to do, yes.
Sure. Yeah, but he really didn't have to do as much as he has before this, and I don't know that he's got 90 minutes in him.
You know, it's funny. A friend of mine who's like he's very nervous about Trump. And I said, look, what you have to understand, you know, he watched a debate last night, and he's like, well, you know, he's doing the same thing he did in the other debates. I said, yeah, but he had 13, 14 other people to play off of. So he could say something crazy for 2 seconds. And by the time it got through the next 12 or 13 people, people had forgotten about the level of craziness, what he said. Where this time he has to stick on that craziness for 2 minutes and there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah. And it's not going to get any easier. Like, Lester Holt was about as easy as it's going to get.
Yeah.
He just kind of let him go, basically. Which is fine. That's a way to go. But if you saw either of the debates hosted by Anderson Cooper this year, he doesn't stand for that kind of shit. He's attacked both of them in their respective debates. So I don't think he's going to give them. I kind of enjoy the Lester Holt give him enough rope to hang himself with kind of thing. But
right.
But I think it'll be a much more tightly moderated thing with the Anderson Cooper debate.
So,
and Chris Wallace as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, you know, I know people were like, oh, Chris Wallace is from Fox News, but go back, I think it's the second debate, maybe the third debate that Chris Wallace handled for the Republicans, and there is an exchange between Marco Rubio and Trump where Chris Wallace absolutely nails Trump, like a number of times with like, run these stats, put it up on the screen, like you're wrong kind of thing. And it was like, whoa, all right, maybe Chris Wallace not too much of a fan of Trump, or maybe Chris Wallace is like trying to be like his father Mike Wallace and actually have some journalistic integrity. So who knows, but I think you're right. I think Anderson Cooper and Chris Wallace are going to be much harder. It's not going to get easier for him.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper beat the shit out of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump this year too.
Yeah. It won't get
any easier. I'd say there's money to be made on Trump not showing up.
You think so?
For the next two. Yeah, I mean, it's a long shot, but, you know, if you want to play them odds.
Could get paid, man. Could get paid.
Yeah, for sure.
That's interesting. I think he will show up because I think he is, of anything, he's a sore loser. And I think he, given an opportunity to try again, Now, the third debate, if what happened last night happens in the second debate, that third debate, that's a solid 50-50 coin toss whether he shows up. It is. Because at that point, he's going to be like, what do I have to lose? Like, I'm going to get embarrassed for a third time? No, fuck that. And then he can hold up and go, oh, well, you know, if I would have debated her, I would have won if he loses. You know, that sort of thing. Right. So, yeah, I think we're both on the sort of on the same playing field here, or have the same opinion. As far as these next two debates, they're going to get harder. And I don't know that he can fake being a policy wonk because he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it.
No, and he doesn't have enough time to cram either.
No, he really doesn't. Now, one of the things I thought was interesting, and again, we'll get more into this as we get into the debate coverage. When you take Trump out of the conversation about finance, he's lost. He's totally lost. He's lost on foreign policy. You know, we got to keep winning so much that their heads spin. Yeah, that's not really a plan. Or I'm not going to tell them my plan, which is, what does that mean? Like, that's a new Republican tactic that started in 2010. Like, we're not going to tell you our secret plans to fix the economy. Like, that shit doesn't make any sense.
Nixon did that.
Really? Was that the whole thing too?
Yeah, he had his secret plan to win Vietnam.
Oh, right. That's true. That's true. I've been reading a lot about Barry Goldwater in the last couple of days. It's,
by the way, Nixon's secret plan to win Vietnam was to lose.
Surprise. Bet you didn't see that one fucking coming. Yeah, nailed it.
No one expected that.
Yeah. It's right up there with the Spanish Inquisition. So, so yeah. And then when he deals with race, he's totally lost because he's racist. But it's interesting that once you take him out of the financial realm, he don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And it's very obvious, I think. Yes. So there you go. That's our thoughts on what's going to happen in the next two debates. If there
Thank
are
you
two.
Very much for the email.
Yes. Sandra? Let's go with that. The next one is from Tiara again this week. So thank you. And the title is Debate Feedback. Hi, Indian Jay. I'm amazed at what I watched last night. I didn't see a debate. I saw a grown-ass woman defend herself against a child. What I noticed is whenever Clinton started to bring up facts, Trump talked over her. I blame Lester Holt for letting that continue throughout the debate. I agree. Also, Trump spent most of his time criticizing his opponent than answering Lester's questions. That's the signature of someone who did not come prepared to give a solid argument and someone who was ignorant of the issues. At this point, it doesn't matter if a voter does like Hillary or not, or if they're a Republican. It's about who's more qualified to be in office. It's Hillary, hands down. Loyalty to one's political party or even skepticism about her past shouldn't come before the good of the party. Last night proved one is an idiot. I'm more qualified than he is, and one has apologized for her misdeeds and has a solid plan for the U.S. Go Lisa Simpson. Tiara. Yeah, I mean, that's not so much a question as a comment, and I agree with it.
Dude, he interrupted her 25 times in the first 25 minutes.
Hey, man, that's a pretty good average.
I've seen so many, even women that I know that are not supporting Hillary that have just been, like, I don't know, Bernie supporters that don't want to vote for her or whatever, right. Like from all walks, just talking. Yeah, I've been there in business meetings. That was very familiar to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think, and all right, this is going to sound slightly crass in the beginning, but I'll fix it on the back end. This type of sympathy should be Hillary should play up. And I don't mean that she requires that sympathy to win because she's a woman or anything like that. I really don't. But I think her going up against right-wingers, especially right-wing men, they can't help themselves because they view women in a very 1950s Mad Men style. And they talk to her like that. The problem is, like, we literally watched a debate with a woman who's more qualified to be president than the guy who's president now when he ran. Like, and her husband at the time. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody today. there's no position in government that is more more designed to prep you for the presidency than the Secretary of State. Not even the vice presidency. Like, you don't do anything as vice president, really.
You get to break tie votes in the Senate and shit.
Right. And how often does that happen? Right.
No, actually, it might be pretty likely after this election.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. Tim Kaine's got a lot of fucking work at him.
There's safe money on 50-50.
God.
Cause what is it? Is it 54-46 now?
I think so.
Something like that. But yeah, and then there's four that are just in the bank basically for the Democrats, and then the rest are really hard. So there's actually a really, really good chance of it there being a 50-50 Congress, which means Tim Kaine would be busy.
Or
Mike Pence.
Ugh. Can you imagine if there were a bunch of fucking votes and they all came down 50-50 and Tim Kaine's is walking in like, hey guys, fucking America's stepdad walking in handling shit. I would love it. Because they would be so fucking pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Fuck them. So, yeah, look, I agree with Tiara. I mean, it was one of those moments, and I had shared somebody else's similar comments. Like, I recognize as a man that women are treated like dirt at their jobs and are treated poorly in America because I'm a liberal, I pay attention, I read things. But to see it happen on that level was fucking unreal.
Yeah. We know Trump's past. It's not like he has a lot of respect for women, you know.
Right. I mean,
and then you got to see it on full display.
Right. And you know, someone made the point of this is how he talks to a woman when he knows everyone is watching. Now imagine when he talks to them, how he talks to them when no one's there. Like it's way worse. You know, so it was super interesting, but it really gave a perspective. And I think any guy who's ever, oh, women don't get treated differently, like that's a perfect example, dude. That's a perfect example. And I think you're right. A lot of women saw that and they were like, oh, fuck this. And I think that's where she's going to pull in women who were like, ah, I'm on the fence. Like, I think she will.
Yeah, for sure. Like again, I think we both said you don't need to vote for her because she's a woman.
No,
but it's not ridiculous to be excited about it.
No, I was excited about Obama being elected president. Like, fuck yeah. I didn't vote for him because he was black. I voted for him because he had the same policies that I agree with, and he also happened to be black.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't have been voting for, like, Ben Carson if he was the first black nominee.
Right, no. Fuck no. or Ben Carson or fucking Herman Cain the last time. Are you kidding?
Oh, Jesus.
Like, Mr. fucking, I use The Sims or I use SimCity as my tax plan? No. Out of here. He's a butthead. So
he also quoted the Pokemon song.
Yes.
Pretty good. Jesus.
And didn't know anything about Libya. Libya, 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 Libya.
Libya. What is Aleppo?
Like he was Gary Johnson before Gary Johnson. He's black Gary Johnson. Domestic politics this week. So you want to take this one? John Kasich goes to war with the RNC.
Yes. Okay. So as some people know, I am a unapologetic fan of John Dickerson, and Face the Nation is my jam every Sunday. So anyway,
you dork.
Totally. I don't apologize for it. John Dickerson is my boyfriend. All right. So Reince Priebus was on.
Oh, boy.
After a he got to come in and clean up the wreckage from that Kellyanne Conway interview you might have heard about. But Reince Priebus was on. And the real interesting thing that he had to say was he basically threatened people like Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush and John Kasich, who are not getting on board with the nominee. Like he had said, you know, if these people are thinking that they're going to run for president again in 4 or 8 years, and actually he said 4 and then corrected himself and said or 8, like he knows what's going to happen. But if they're thinking that they're going to run in 4 or 8 years, you know, they got another thing coming, basically. The hilarious thing about this is that he believes that if Trump loses, he'll somehow still have his job.
Right. Come on, dude. Like, live in reality, dude. You're done. And actually, I think you're done even if Trump wins.
Yeah, like in what reality does the Republican, does the Republican Party under Reince Priebus get essentially hijacked by a lunatic and they go, no, you're good. We'll keep you.
Yeah, you were able to rein this in.
You're doing a great job there, Reince.
Yeah, they picked too German of a guy, by the way.
Reince Priebus!
Yeah, like, come on, man. The guy's like goose-stepping his way to the White House. Get out of here.
There's two very interesting responses to this, which is, my favorite was a John Kasich strategist said, where's the quote here? He will not be bullied by a Kenosha political operative who is unable to stand up for core principles or beliefs.
That is such a weird insult. Like, I didn't even know what that meant. I had to Google. I was like, what the fuck is Kenosha? Oh, wait. That's
Wisconsin.
I was like, that's a place. Oh, all right. Like, that's weird.
For some reason, all the fucked up politics are coming from Wisconsin. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, no kidding.
We got Paul Ryan's from there and Governor Shitbag and Reince Priebus. But yes. So they basically.
A Kenosha operative. Wow.
The idea that, the sitting Republican governor of a very important swing state is going to bow down to Reince fucking Priebus.
Yeah, like, dude, you must have lost your fucking mind.
Yeah, that was the nice way of saying, get the fuck back to Wisconsin, shitbag.
Yeah, what power does Reince Priebus think that he has? You were not able to control your party, and you allowed a guy who basically isn't even a Republican to hijack and take over everything.
All right, just think about, he thinks he's somehow, they think that he's got sway over who's allowed to run for president. They had 18 fucking people.
Yeah, what
and
control
half of
did
them
you
had
have?
No government experience.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is, wasn't Reince Priebus, was he head of the RNC? No, he wasn't head of the RNC during 2012, was he?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he came on maybe afterwards, but because I think they booted Michael Steele after he lost, because that's what they do. But
he was the chairperson of the Republican Party of Wisconsin until 2011. Let's see here. Oh, he assumed office in January 20th of 2011, preceded by Michael Steele.
Okay, so he basically got he basically jumped on after they lost. So, yeah, I mean, look, you're done, son. Like, you fucked up because you didn't court somebody who was worth a damn early. You let Trump build and build and build when it was early, and you let him get too much fucking power. You did. And they could have crushed Trump early, but they didn't. Because they thought, oh, this is interesting. He's saying funny shit, and he's getting news coverage. And they didn't condemn him.
They liked the attention.
Yeah,
they were bringing in new people to the party.
Yep, but you brought in all the crazies, dude.
Yeah, but I don't think he cares. It's votes.
Yeah, well, he's gonna care when he's out of a fucking job.
An insane Gomer trailer park racist vote counts just as much as a bougie educated black guy from Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. That's me.
Yep. So they went after the Gomers because there's way few of you that were going to vote for them.
That is absolutely correct. Too much reading has made my brain all smart and shit, which they don't like. But yeah, I think that's really funny, the idea of him threatening John Kasich, because John Kasich is just sitting back chilling in the cut, man. He's like, oh, really? Yeah, okay. I'll be a Kenosha fucking political operative. I'll be sitting over here. When your party blows up, you'll be looking for me in fucking 4 years.
Absolutely. He's in the perfect position. All right, so if Hillary Clinton wins, he's going to be the guy to go, hey, who was right here the whole time? Mr. Reasonable. Everybody likes me. I mean, there's I know some liberals in Ohio who aren't too happy with him. But in general, pretty well liked, pretty well respected guy. So if the party decides to go back to, look, this was crazy, let's just try to like be more inclusive. Like, who's better than John Kasich at this point?
No.
You're not going to go to Jeb Bush.
No.
You know?
He's not going to run again anyway. He got embarrassed.
Yeah, Marco Rubio got embarrassed. I don't know that he's going to throw himself out there again.
Oh, I think he will, but I think he's going to be too hardline. He's going to be too, he's too hardline.
Yeah, probably.
I think Kasich, maybe Chris Christie, maybe. But he's got a
if this wasn't an
odd week, they're looking at him to possibly get impeached.
Yeah, he's fucked. The prosecution and defense have both named him in this Bridgegate trial, which is going on right now.
Yep.
Which I'm sure we'll have more on in the future when more of that comes out. But like in their opening statements, one of the people that they had to roll on defense, who like is agreeing to testify for a lighter sentence, is just right out saying, "Oh yeah, Chris Christie told us to do that."
Yep, he knew the whole time.
So, and then in the prosecution, they're making the case that Chris Christie, like, he's fucked. He is super fucked. There's no way.
I don't know. Stranger things have happened. The fact that Giuliani ran at one point is odd to me. So.
Popular once.
Sure. With who? The mob?
Republicans in New York.
There's like seven of them.
But yes, so the other interesting response this week.
Yes.
Ted Cruz rolled.
I can believe this. But this is super sad. I have to tell you, I'm actually disappointed in Ted Cruz.
Right? If anyone had an excuse not to, like, John Kasich has less of an excuse to, like, he's just, I don't like that guy. But if anyone had a good excuse to not endorse Trump, he insulted his wife. He implied that his dad helped kill JFK. He has said he was so awful to Ted Cruz the whole time.
Yep.
Ted Cruz would have had the ultimate out to just be like, nah. And he caved.
Yep. I mean, look, Ted Cruz basically has the same position that Jeb Bush had. Like, you talk shit on my family, dude. We're done. Like, that's it. We're done. I mean, look, I understand that there are political rules and there are life rules. I feel like if you are a politician worth your salt, those life rules have to intersect with your political rules. You have to have some level of ethics. If somebody talks shit on my wife and my dad and said the things they said about me, I'm not endorsing you, dude. I don't give a fuck about the party. I'm not endorsing you because I'm a principled guy.
Even if I agreed with somebody on 100% of the issues, like if we were a complete agreement straight down the line, if you said the shit to me and my family that Donald Trump said to Ted Cruz, fuck no, I'm not endorsing that guy. Never, ever, ever. Any reason.
Yeah. And I would straight tell him, like, oh, you know, why aren't you going to endorse him? Like, because that guy talks shit on my family, and I don't play that shit. Period. Doesn't that seem petty? Yeah, it does. Fuck you.
He said it earlier. I'm not in the habit of endorsing people who insult my wife and dad.
Then you stick to it, you ass. Because now you have tied yourself to Trump's coattails. Because it doesn't matter if you say anything. None of that is relevant. If Trump loses, you can't then run as a reasonable guy because you backed him.
Right. He would have had the out to come in and say, look, principled conservatives, I understand you got caught up in that, but who was right here for you the whole time? Teddy Cruz. And now he doesn't have that anymore.
Nope.
Like, that's going to be the Trump card absolutely. If there's a 2020, you know, if we're talking in a world where Trump loses, if it's like, comes down to Kasich and Cruz in 2020, Kasich's going to be able to hammer him with that.
Yeah. Like, you picked a guy who absolutely got destroyed in a race against Hillary Clinton, and you were craving, you were politically craving.
Yes.
And there's there's no way around that because that's exactly what it is.
Cruz's entire thing is principled conservative, and anyone who runs against him is going to be able to hit him over the head with that.
Yeah, and I would if I were Kasich or anybody else. I mean, one of the things that drives me crazy is, you know, the reason why he's doing this and why he's doing it now is because the polls came out and it seemed like Trump was either winning or tied with Clinton. And he saw blood in the water and he's like, I got to get on this winning train. The problem is, dude, you didn't even wait until after the first debate. You should have waited, because guess what? These polls are about to move, homeboy. And when they move, you're going to look in the mirror and be like, what the fuck have I done? He's in a world. He's going to be in a world of trouble. It ain't going to be 50-50. He's going to be in a world of fucking trouble in about a week when these polls come out. My guess is by the time our next episode comes out, we'll talk polls a little bit. You're going to see a shift. It's not going to be 10 absolutely. Points, but you're going to see a shift. Absolutely. So, yeah, like, I was actually, like, I hate Ted Cruz's face, right? I've been on record in saying that he looks like Dobby from the Harry Potter series.
It fucking bummed me out to see his dumb face on my newsfeed again.
Yeah, but, like, dude, you had an opportunity to actually be principled and actually do the thing, like, to push against the thing that everyone says that you are, which is a craven politician who pretends to be principled. And then at the 12th hour mark, you prove them right. That's what you are. You are craven. You're not a principled guy at all.
How the fuck do you go home to your wife every night and go, hey, yeah, I'm on the Trump train.
Sorry. Couch? Yeah, no, I'll be there. That's cool. If you want to let me know when I can come on upstairs, please. Sure is cold down here. Yeah, I just thought that was incredibly dumb. And actually, I was legit pissed off and legit disappointed in him. Like, dude, I don't agree with you on anything.
Fuck no.
On anything. Except for, like, you know, Harry Potter was a pretty cool guy. But besides that, I don't agree with you on anything.
I agree that you should be a free elf. Yes. But I don't agree with you on anything else.
I believe you should have a sock. That makes you free. But outside of that, I didn't agree with him on anything. But I did respect, I begrudgingly respected him because he at least was fucking principled and said, you know what? I'm a conservative and Trump is not a conservative. This guy is a madman and I'm not going to support him. When he went to the RNC or to the...
He got booed out of the fucking building.
Yeah, because he refused to endorse him. I was like, you know what? All right, Teddy Westside, I see you, man. Absolutely. But you know what? No, dude, fuck you, man. Because you caved so that you could get, so you could ride his coattails. And that's fucked up. And you threw your wife under the bus. And your dad, who I can't stand.
Ugh. As a principled Christian conservative, I am disappointed in Ted Cruz.
Yes, right. Well, he did punch his wife in the face that time when he was trying to give his dad a hug. So
Twice.
He gave her the fucking punch and then, like, elbowed her back. I was like, wow, dude. Fucking pay attention. I know you're very emotional. I get it. All right, so... Now, we have hit the 33-minute mark.
Yes, cut it right here.
Yep. Guess you're going to have to sign up for premium to hear our post-debate.
We're going to talk about the debate behind the paywall.
Yeah, that's right. Bye, everybody. All right, so I'm serious. That's exactly what I'm going to fucking cut it. It's $5 a month or $50 for the full year, you cheap bastard. It's not expensive. All right, so let's get into it. I got my fucking 50-page transcript here. Hofstra University. Lester Holt is the moderator. Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton for all the fucking marbles. What is your impression, your general impression, before we go through this, what is your general impression of the debate?
Like I said, is interesting, you know. I know some people are whipping some shit at Lester Holt for kind of just letting him go, but as far as actual debates go, that's kind of what you're supposed to do, right?
I suppose I didn't have a problem with him, like, not necessarily like fact checking or whatever. I had a problem with him just letting Trump speak way over his time and then jumping into Hillary's time, which that kind of bothered. He called him on it a couple times, but there was a number of times in like the first third of the debate I was like, hello Lester, where are, I mean, I literally tweeted out like, Lester, wake the fuck up, where are you? So that was my biggest issue with Lester Holt in the latter two-thirds. He
let her interrupt her the whole time.
Yeah, that really kind of pissed me off.
But no, you're right. The towards the end, he's like, oh, right, Trump's a huge racist. Let's hit him on some of this stuff.
Exactly.
And he didn't even bring it up. Like, Hillary had to bring up some of that shit, and Lester saw blood in the water and went for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny because there were a couple of moments where they were almost like tag teaming him, which, you know, whatever. Trump's a liar, so I can't be that upset about it.
The fact checkers have to be exhausted today.
Oh, they're
they were working overtime.
Yeah, I want to see more, like, you know how Fox News does that, like, stupid, like, 37 banners underneath while the news is going. I need fact checkers to be on that, like, live. Or just like pop up video, like from like the early 90s.
Bling.
Yeah,
it
like
lie.
Yeah,
and then have the actual stat there.
Yeah,
for both of them too.
Yeah, absolutely. They should both be fact checked. No doubt about it.
Hillary's been known to bend the truth a little bit.
That is more than correct. that would be, in the words of Trump, that would be semi-exact. It's a semi-exact answer.
And Trump has been known to tell some fucking blatant whoppers.
Bigly.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. Bigly.
No one lies more bigly than him.
When it comes to lying, I'm bigly the best.
Absolutely.
So I take it you thought that, like, as far as who won the debate, I take it you thought Hillary won.
Honestly, it was a fairly mediocre performance. I've seen her do really well. She had some damn good ones against Obama, and she held her own pretty well against Bernie. And I mean, you know, they say she over-prepared, but
I think that's offensive.
I know.
I do. I think it's not because she's a woman. I'll talk about it, but I think it's incredibly offensive.
Do we really want a president who prepares? Let's be honest.
Yeah, get out of here. Ugh. This is America.
That, who actually thinks about stuff before they do it? Fuck no. But I think you had to. Like, you had no idea which Donald Trump was going to show up, if they were actually going to corral him and have him be a normal human, or if he was going to be the insane insult tornado that he was in the Republican debates. And
turns out,
so hey, he's a fun combination of everything, wasn't he? Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know that she, you know, like she did, she definitely, like, there, like, she set traps for him and he fell for every single one of them. And the problem from her perspective that, like, she actually did try to put out some of her own plans, but the major problem was she was just getting interrupted constantly, and, like, it sort of let Trump set the tempo, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know that she was able to put out enough of her own shit, but she did hammer him pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Fairly mediocre performance from her. But it helped that she was going against a fucking lunatic who was sniffing and sputtering. And, like, she just stood there basically at attention in high heels for 90 minutes. And he was all over the place. He's leaning on the podium and leaning into the microphone. You can find, like, supercuts of him sniffing. What?
Cocaine, Howard, my man. Cocaine.
Howard Dean accused him of being on cocaine, which
I mean,
would make sense, actually.
I mean, look, I know it's not, oh, you know, some people are like, well, that's the same as saying that Hillary had Parkinson's. Yeah, here's the difference. Hillary just fainted. Donald Trump was acting erratic. Like, people can faint. I fainted, like, over heat, you know, in the past, like, a number of years ago. Like, I don't have Parkinson's. I also don't act like a psychopath. Like, the time I acted like that was when I had a 5-hour energy drink and I weighed 140 pounds. And I thought my heart was going to fall out of my chest.
You had somebody faint in your studio during a recording.
Yeah.
Like, it's not insane.
Yeah, but, exactly. And that was fucking hilarious. We have an air conditioner now.
Good.
It's the least we could do.
But yeah, I mean, to be generous, he was a little erratic. I think she'll probably do better in future debates, but I don't know that she knew what to expect. And how can you?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Fair to good performance from her, and Trump just shit his pants on the stage, essentially.
Yeah. So I definitely thought Hillary won. Wow, I'm literally watching a video explaining this whole thing with the Miss Piggy comment at the end. Wow, I can't watch it. That's really frustrating.
I saw that earlier today.
Yikes. That's fucked up. That is super fucked up. So
did you see how fat she was?
Yeah, she was huge at like 130 pounds.
Okay. Not even that.
Like, come on, dude. Like, he's a fucking scumbag. So anyway, I definitely thought Hillary won. I thought the first 30 minutes or first third of the debate, he had her on the defensive a lot. And he was just interrupting and he was pushing the pace. Like, if this is an MMA fight, he was definitely pushing the pace, and he definitely won that first third. And I was like, oh no. Like, cause she seemed really super stiff, and then she landed that line about the, or didn't land it, but she tried that line about trumped up trickle down. I was like, that is, the crowd goes mild. Like, that was not good.
It's Hillary Clinton. She's your unfunny aunt who still tries to tell jokes.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. No, absolutely. And so that first third, he kind of had her, and I was like, oh shit. Like, because the thing is, and this is what I mentioned earlier, when you talk about business and you talk about finance, he might not be correct, but he knows enough about finance that he can bluster his way through it, and it sounds like he knows.
Like, that's what he's been doing. That's been his career, is standing in front of people and blustering and convincing them to give him money. To whatever, invest in his bullshit.
Right. And, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this with the economy and this, and then we got to renegotiate our finances and all this other stuff. But if you don't know the details behind a lot of that, and look, there's some parts I know and some parts I don't know. If you don't know a lot of the hardcore policy of that, it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And when he's so aggressive and not letting her finish, she's always on her heels the whole time. So it sounds like she's stuttering and doesn't know. And he's just like hammering. So that first third, I was like, oh, this isn't good, because I saw what strategy he was using. He was bullying, right? He knew he could bluster his way through the financial shit and then just bully. Like, she would give out a fact like, oh, your tax plan would kill 3.5 million jobs, according to like the CBO and stuff like that. And he's just like, bluster. I'm a man. I built the Eiffel Tower out of steel and brawn. And then he would just fucking yell shit over top of her. And then she would be like, wait, what? And then it's like, and then they would just move on. And so that was like, that was detrimental to her. But then when they got, that was a Ron Burgundy reference, by the way.
That video was going around online before the debate, and it couldn't have been more perfect, which is he came out screaming, and then she started beating him later, pepper sprayed him, and then he pepper sprayed in his own face. And I'm like, that's actually perfect.
Yeah, no, it totally worked. in the first third of that match, he threw her across a desk. Totally makes sense.
Yes.
So after that, after the talk about the financials and how to bring jobs back and stuff like that, by the way, his answers were nonsensical as fuck. And we're going to go through it. Dude, I have a ton of shit highlighted. So like, that stuff didn't make any sense, but he blustered his way through. Then the very next topic was race. And when he started on race, when Lester Holt asked him about racial issues, that is where Trump literally shit his pants, not literally, but figuratively shit his pants and could not recover.
You know what? We weren't there. Go for it. He literally shit his pants.
It actually happened. It was awful.
Look forward sources on the ground. Tell us that's the moment he shit his pants.
We had a man on the inside. and he could not recover. And he was on his heels the entire time. And when you got to social issues, and look, it doesn't mean that Hillary isn't a policy wonk when it comes to financials, because she is. If you listen to her talk where she's not being interrupted, she knows her fucking shit, dude. She really super does. So,
like we said, 25 times in the first 25 minutes.
Right, which is crazy. That's absolutely nuts. So when you get him on something that is not in his wheelhouse, he has to take time to think. She knows social domestic policy incredibly well, and she was fucking on him, dude. She was absolutely on him, and she was on him from the second that topic started until that fucking buzzer at the end. And she never let up, and she kept throwing out, like you said, kept throwing out all those traps, and he just walked his stupid ass like a fucking dumb wind-up robot, like, right into it. And it was just like, the next thing, and it's like, oh, well, you know, you mentioned super predators, and she's like, yeah, it was a terrible thing I said, and you know what, we need to, like, and I was basically, I was wrong, and it was fucked up. Next. And he was like, shit, I thought she was going to fight me on it. Dude, she's not going to fight you on it. The two things.
That was her parry on everything. What about the emails? Yeah, you know what? If I had to do it again, I wouldn't. Sorry. Next thing.
Yeah, like totally shut it down. The two things I knew he would come after her on were the emails. I figured he'd do Benghazi, but he didn't. And then the super predators thing. The second they started talking about racial issue, I knew those two things were going to come up. And he brought them up, or they were brought up. Well, actually, no, he particularly brought them up himself. And she batted him down. And then he looked like an ass because he had nothing else. Like the email thing, I think he truly thought she was going to be like, what about your emails? Like, no. The tactic is to take the position, admit that you did something wrong, crumble up that piece of paper and throw it in the trash and move the fuck on. That's exactly what she did. And for better or for worse,
this thing has been investigated to death. I didn't do anything illegal, but probably shouldn't have done it. Next thing.
Yeah, what else you got, homeboy? I saw some conservative writer said Donald Trump brought 20 minutes worth of material for a 90-minute debate. And that's about right, dude. That's about
that was
right.
That one of Mitt Romney's guys.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, so
you know how they feel. Oh,
hey, I'm going to hold a press conference just to shit on the nominee. Well, okay. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's fairly fucking principal conservative. Mitt Romney is, dude. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm rich as shit. I don't have to deal with any of you motherfuckers ever again.
Well, and he doesn't hold any position in the government. He has nothing to answer for. Mm-mm. He's not running again. He doesn't give a shit about what Reince Priebus has to say.
No. Take his dick out and his Mormon dick out and hit Reince Priebus across the face with it. Like, he doesn't care. Like,
I'm still well regarded in the party. People can't stand you.
Yeah. I'm still polling at 14% in Utah right now, okay? So how about that?
I could realistically win Utah, and I'm not even running.
How fucking hilarious would that be, by the way? Utah goes to Mitt Romney? What the fuck? Like, oh. 3 electoral college votes. So, okay, so there are many things that happen. And like we said, the debate started out with, like, hey, how are you going to bring jobs back to America? So one of the things I have, and so if you check out the docket, I have additional notes under the debate, or as I wrote it, debate. So I put out a couple of bullet points to other articles that kind of break down or give a little bit more evidence to some things that I kind of went through and starred. This first one I did, which was Trump says, under my plan, I'll be reducing taxes tremendously, of course, from 35% to 15% for companies, small and big businesses. That's going to be a great job creator like we haven't seen since Ronald Reagan, right? So it's like, okay, you're reducing the corporate tax from 35% to 15%. So the question is, when is the last time the corporate tax rate was that low at 15%? You would have to go all the way back to roughly where it wasn't like positioned out, roughly 1936, where if you made over $40,000, you're after $40,000 of business revenue, it was taxed at 15%. 1936. Wow. That's how long ago and how ridiculous that is. So it's not like the economy, by the way. So remember what year 1936 is, right? Hello? Hello, fucking historians. It's the fucking Great Depression. Hello?
Oh!
Hello? Like, and that's when the corporate tax rate was that fucking low. Yeah, like, I wish that somebody would have had that date in their, you know, like in, like, just in their fucking back pocket. You know, like, the fucking, I'm just looking at just the Great Depression, you know, Wikipedia page. It's, like, solidly almost at its worst in, like, 1934. Like, hello?
See, my response to that would have been, oh, yeah, some of your racial attitudes are about from 1936 as well. Zing! Pow, pow!
Exactly. By the way, you know that very famous picture, Migrant Mother from the Great Depression? It's the woman holding her child, kind of looking off into the distance because she's, like, white and really, really poor. Yeah, that's from 1936. Just so you know. So I just found that to be really interesting. Like, you're talking about taking the corporate tax rate back to the time when the Great Depression was damn near at its height. Like, hello, dude. Yeah, the country was fucked. It was fucked. And look, I'm not saying that that corporate rate caused the Great Depression. I'm not making that point. But I what I'm making the point is that the economy was so piss poor is why it was so low, right? They had to keep it low because if they taxed it anymore, you couldn't make any fucking money.
Well, and corporations back then were not what they are now.
No.
Like,
yeah,
for
yeah,
fuck's sake.
Yeah, like, okay, let's put Microsoft at a corporate tax rate of 15%.
Yeah, Jesus.
That's crazy, man. And look, I know a lot of corporations don't pay taxes. How about we do this? How about we leave the corporate tax rate at it at what it is and just start actually collecting taxes? There's an idea. How about you make it, or look, I'll even take, it's at 35%. I'll even say we could drop it to 28%, but it is a mandatory 28% and there are no fucking loopholes. How about that? You drop it to 25, but no loopholes. Zero. You have to pay 25%. That's a pretty good compromise.
You'd have a lot more money that way.
You'd have a fuck ton more money. What is it? ExxonMobil has paid like $0 in the last, like, every year for the last like 5 years.
Was it fucking Verizon didn't pay a nickel?
Yeah. So, look.
And Verizon's made a couple of bucks, I think, in this country.
Yeah, just a little bit. Your phones stink, but that's fine.
Dude, I live in a town with 8,000 people, and we have two Verizon stores. They're doing okay.
They employ 95% of Wamaluchi fucking Nebraska, wherever the hell you are, or Nevada. What is the name of your city?
I mean, the more fun one is our nearest neighboring town is Battle Mountain. So I just tell people that.
Battle Mountain? But what's the one that you live in, like?
Winnemucca.
Winnemucca.
Yes. You know us from our gas station as you drive by and don't stop.
Are you literally one exit?
Three, actually.
Oh, wow. All right, wow. It's looking up. It's looking up.
Yeah, we got a Walmart and everything.
Oh, it's not a super Walmart, is it?
It is.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have any grocery stores, right? So you have to go to Walmart, too. That makes sense.
There are four.
Oh, excuse me. Look at Andy. We've got four grocery stores. How about that?
If you count the Walmart.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But, yeah, so just keep that in mind, that he's talking about taking the corporate tax rate back to what it was during the Great Depression. That is just, that's magical, is what that is. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'm trying to think, what are some other points? Trump goes into talking about how he got a small loan of $14 million and Hillary slammed him on that.
His small loan seems to have multiplied. She called him out on it and he didn't fight her on that. The other interesting thing is she hit him with the analytics stuff. Your plan is going to put us another $5 trillion in debt. He didn't really fight on that either. It's like his argument is nuh-uh.
Well, his argument is not only was it nuh-uh, it was nuh-uh, your plan's going to put us $1.3 trillion in debt. And it's like, yeah, five's more than 1.3.
Even if that's true, which I don't know who he's talking to.
It actually is true. Actually, one of the links in the docket breaks it down. I actually want to talk about this.
Well, there you go.
But so here's an understanding, just a quick understanding. It's from Forbes, right? So they're a little bit more conservative anyway. But, you know, take it with...
No kidding.
What's that?
No kidding.
Yeah, fucking Steve Forbes. One of the ugliest human beings that's ever existed, by the way. So they have sort of a breakdown of her tax plan. So again, take it with a grain of salt. But she is going to hike income tax. Hillary has proposed a $350 billion income tax hike in the form of a 28% cap on itemized deductions. Now, what they don't tell you is that is on people making like over $250,000 a year, right? This is the top earners. It's, of course, it's a conservative viewpoint. So they're like, it's $350 billion. Like, yeah, but it's not to the guy working at McDonald's. So let's not pretend. She's also, according to them, implementing a fairness tax. Fairness can often be debated in tax matters. Hillary published a plan that calls for between $400 and $500 billion by restoring basic fairness to the tax code. My guess is that is making it more progressive of a tax code, meaning you pay less the less you make, which I have no problem with that. Then she's making higher capital gains, which I thought this was interesting. There's a link within this link, which I think people should read if you really want to understand tax policy, and you're a giant nerd like me. So so capital gains, I've talked about this in the past, is basically money that you make on stocks, right? And you only pay these percentages when you actually sell the stock, not when you're trading it. That's not the same. So that money basically is kind of free until you pull the money technically out of the stock market. So
do you know how often people sell stocks? Like, it's millions of times a day.
Right. But not taking that money out of the stock market. It's leaving it there, right? So
gotcha.
Like if you're selling 1,000 shares of a stock that you own, you don't pay capital gains on that. You only pay it if you cash out that stock and then make money off of that stock. Then you pay the capital gains. So
gotcha.
that's how rich people move wealth. They move it by saying, hey, let me pass this on to my kids, right? I can just pass on these $10 bajillion worth of stock and I never have to pay on it, which is the Republicans go, yeah, that's totally fair. And Democrats go, yeah, go fuck yourself. You're just avoiding having to pay any taxes on it. That's why they want to implement the estate tax, or what the Republicans call the death tax, that even if you hand over stocks and things like that, that person who inherited still has to pay a certain percentage.
She raised the fuck out of the estate tax.
Oh, yeah.
She
absolutely did, which is good. So basically...
But only on like the highest rate is $500 million or higher?
Yes.
And the feathers that ruffled, I love to see somebody try to defend this, because the lowest rate that she's raising, I think was it $3.5 million or something?
Yes, I believe that's true.
So anyone under that, you're fine. So you've got all these millionaires and billionaires that are going to try to, hey, wait a minute, we can't do that. And I heard someone, I'll have to find the clip, I'll send it to you, but someone actually tried to defend this, being like, hey, I mean, 3.5 million isn't what it used to be, you know?
Like what? Like, dude.
That's not really that much money, really.
$3.5 million is not what it used to be. Like, the audacity to say that out loud is amazing. As you're kicking a surf in the face.
The vast majority of us will never, ever, ever have $3.5 million, much less be gifted in it. Be gifted $3.5 million in an estate settlement.
Right. It's so silly to me. Oh, that's just not a lot. I mean, I work with a guy who works in a position lower than mine, and he's like, I remember him arguing, we were talking about the estate tax, and he's a Republican, and he's like, well, you know, like $1 million isn't that much money. I'm like, do you have $1 million? No? Shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? $1 million isn't a lot of money. Are you kidding? If I paid you $100,000 more a year now, you would be nowhere near $1 million, and your life would be changed forever.
Yeah. If somebody wants to gift me $3.5 million in their will, I'm not going to bitch about the taxes.
No, fuck no. I'd be like, $3.5 million? What do I got to do for it? I got to, like, dance or something? Because I will. Like, I'm a whore. I'll do it.
Whatever the rate is, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they tax the shit out of it, you're like, whatever, I've got 2.75 million now. That's still way more than I had right now.
Yeah.
I have $300 in my savings account.
Right, exactly. Oh my God, we're struggling. Donate to the show, for the love of God. So she basically has broken out the capital gains, and not to get too wonky in this, but I think it's important. She basically broke out the capital gains rates. So before, if you had capital gains that you had held for a year or less, then it was, the current law is that you're taxed, if you sold it, then you're taxed at 39.6%, right? Every duration after a year is you're taxed at 20%. So her plan is anything less, a year or less, or anything less than a year is 39.6%. Between year one and two is 39.6%. Year two to three is 36%. Year three to four is 32%. 4 to 5 years is 28%. 5 to 6 years is 24%. And if you hold it 6 years or more, it's 20%. Now, keep in mind, when it's capital gains, most people keep it for well over 6 years. Well over. Which would be in line with the rate right now. But they're still fucking complaining. Because the people who want to short the system, make a bunch of money and get out, they have to pay more. Well, of course, they should. They're taking more money out of the system. Hello? You get penalized for taking it out faster. That's how, like, your Social Security works. That's how everything works.
Oh,
silly.
The $3.5 million argument actually started with Justice Scalia. Oh,
of course it did. fucking course it did. Jesus Christ.
So people are now repeating that. I mean, it's not that much.
It's not that much money. You guys shut up. You guys are the worst.
What the fuck are you doing for a living if that's not that much money? Because I want to go into that field.
Yeah, let me know, man.
A $3.5 million pittance.
He's barely surviving, man. Barely surviving.
Yeah, he barely scraped two nickels together.
Made of actual silver. So one of the other things Trump says that I thought was interesting is that he said that... we have to renegotiate our trade deals. There's a whole thing about, you know, he mentions the NAFTA rules that if you are in Mexico or Canada, you can sell things, you can sell things inside the United States without paying any taxes on it as an import. That's partially true. I looked it up. It's in the show notes. Not everything that comes from Canada or Mexico in NAFTA is considered duty free. You have to go through actually
duty.
Yeah, very good. But I thought it too. But it's actually a fairly complicated process to get those things basically duty free. But Trump made it seem like it was like everything. That's not true at all. There's actually a significant process you have to go through to get approval for that. So I just thought that was that was an interesting sort of like little half truth, and I mean that's a very Trumpian thing, I suppose. So Holt asks a question. He says, "How do you bring back?" He asks it to Trump. How do you bring back, specifically bring back jobs, American manufacturers? How do you bring them back to the U.S. after they've left? Trump's response is nonsensical bullshit. And he says. Well, first thing you do is you don't let the jobs leave. Oh, wow. We should have thought of that. The companies are leaving. I mean, there are thousands of them. They're leaving, and they're leaving in bigger numbers than ever. So then he basically goes on to say, like, okay, here's how I would fix it, because he didn't actually answer the question there. So he says, well, what you would tell them is, oh, you want to go to Mexico? Or some other country, good luck. We wish you a lot of luck. But if you think you're going to make your air conditioners or your cars or your cookies or whatever you make and bring them into our country without a tax, you're wrong. Again, like I just said, that's actually not quite true. And it's a little bit more complicated than, hey, if you start your business in Mexico, then you can just ship into the U.S. for free. Now, keep in mind, he knows this. Or you know what? Maybe he doesn't, actually. I don't know what I'm saying.
If he did, don't you think he'd be doing it?
Well, yeah, that's a good argument, actually. That's actually a good argument. But it's really funny because while he's saying that, and he's like, oh, you know, you can't, you know, bring these things in, you can't sell these things without a tax, like, dude, what you're basically saying is every company would absolutely leave. Why would Ford stay here? Why?
Right.
Like, there are reasons to not go. Also, they don't leave the country just for the reasons of taxes. They leave the country because in other countries, they're allowed to pay them less, pay the workers less, right? It is a race to the bottom. So if you have a bunch of sweatshops making your shit for pennies on the dollar versus American workers who you have to pay for paid time off and possibly, you know, parental leave in the future and things like that and healthcare, then yeah, it becomes more expensive because we're trying to treat employees like human beings.
Did you catch his bullshit about Ford, by the way?
I heard a little tag on that. Go ahead.
So he said all these jobs were leaving Ford because Ford basically announced that they're going to be doing all their small vehicles in Mexico. What he left out is pretty significant, which is they're still building all their large vehicles in the United States because it's actually cheaper to do it, to do those here. Like, you know, you still have to ship things. And so it's cheaper to build small vehicles in a gross oversimplification.
Yep.
But it's cheaper to build the small ones down there and ship them up here. But it makes more sense to build the large ones up here, your trucks and your SUVs and stuff. So Ford announced this because they knew there would be some panic when they said, hey, we're moving all small vehicle production to Mexico. They're not firing a single person in the United States. They're just basically moving them over to, they're making big vehicles now and that's it.
Yeah.
So he was lying. But, you know.
Shocking news.
But, you know, if you don't scratch the surface on that, if you just hear, hey, they're going to make all the cars in Mexico, technically that's true. But if you buy a, you know, an F-350, that's still built in the United States, and everybody that works for Ford in the United States still has their job.
Right. And look, I don't care what anybody says. This is like right up there with like innovations in technology. Like, oh, I'm really upset about the iPhone or whatever not having a headphone jack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're not. You're not. You're not. Like, I call bullshit on that. You're not. You're not as mad as you pretend to be. And nobody is that upset to find out that their Ford truck or their Ford car is made in a foreign country. No one cares. No one cares. Okay. No one gives a shit. What people care about, there are two types of car drivers, right? There are people who are brand loyalist, and then there are people who just want a good functioning car. And then they change brands depending on what they find interesting and desirable. That's it. Nobody gives a fuck. No one is an American car person. They are a brand person. So look, I'm an American. I drive a German car. Before that,
traitor.
I know. But before that, I drove a different type of German car. And before that, I drove an American car that was a piece of shit. And then before that, I drove a German car. And before that, I drove a German car. So you know what? Wow, I really like German cars. But I'm more of a brand loyalist. I'm more of a Volkswagen person than anything else. I don't have a Volkswagen now, but I'm more of a Volkswagen loyalist. I don't give a fuck. No one cares that much, dude. There's like one guy who's like, I only buy American because I heard that on a truck commercial once. And I like those Budweiser horses that pull the sleigh at the Super Bowl. Like, that's one guy.
Ford truck guys, stick with your Ford trucks. They're making them in Michigan.
Right. But here's my thing. Even if they weren't, it's not like you're suddenly going to, it's not like suddenly you're going to not buy it. You're lying. Oh. You're going to buy it anyway because that's the truck you like.
You want to know a fun fact? Do you know the automaker that makes more vehicles in the United States than any other one?
I think it's Toyota, isn't it?
It's fucking Toyota.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like huge plants. Like, I think is it the Midwest or the South?
I don't know. I know they got something out in they're all over, but I know they've got one in California. That might have left, but forever that was like the gold standard for American auto production. And that basically comes down to shipping.
Yep.
Like, it's not cheap to ship a whole bunch of cars from Japan to here. You have to go across that, ocean there.
Yes. But that's the point. It's like, I only want American-built cars. Well, Toyotas are American-built, so it doesn't matter.
They did, but they set up a plant, you're right, like in Alabama or some shit. I should look that up. But yeah, so if you're super into American cars made by companies employing Americans assemble in America, buy yourself a Toyota.
There you go. Just like Abraham Lincoln would have wanted you to. Yeah, I call bullshit on it. People get really upset by those things. Nobody gives a fuck. You don't care about the iPhone 7 headphone jack, and you don't give a fuck about this. Stop lying to yourself.
Those were all Samsung people anyway.
Dicks. Yeah, your hands are going to blow off. Get out of here. It's just true. You're going to end up like fucking Two-Face. Just get it together. So this, I thought was one of two of the most egregious things I've ever heard in a presidential debate. One, Hillary Clinton says, quote, "In fact, Donald was one of the people who rooted for the housing crisis. He said back in 2006, gee, I hope it does collapse because then I can go in and buy some and make some money. Well, it did collapse." And Trump's response is, "That's called business, by the way." And she responds, which I thought was great, 9 million people lost their jobs, 5 million people lost their homes, and $13 trillion in family wealth was wiped out. He just admitted on national television, across all of the internet, that he rooted for these people to lose their houses. And nobody's talking about it.
And half those people are voting for it.
Right. Like, this guy, and he didn't even say, like, he didn't even, like, do the Mitt Romney tacit, I'm a rich guy trying to defend it shit. Like, well, you know, I was trying to do what's best for Bain Capital, blah, 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 fucking jerk off motion. None of that. He was just like, yeah, fuck those people. I was trying to get paid. And people are just like, yeah, that seems, yep, that's about right. Yeah.
He's a good businessman.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a businessman with zero fucking scruples. Zero. And you are going to vote for him. What do you think he's going to do with your money and power that you give him?
He wandered face first into every one of those traps. The other one was where she hit him for not paying contractors and stuff on his hotels and stuff.
Yep.
And it, rather than going, yeah, I did, or you're lying, or that's not true, or what, anything to get out of it, he's like, well, they didn't do a good job, so I didn't pay them.
Like, that's not how businesses work, my man. Like, it's just not a good, that they didn't do a good job. What was it? Betty White tweeted out that thing. Like, yeah, if you go to a Trump, just go to a Trump hotel. And then when they ask you to pay, just be like, I wasn't satisfied with the service, and just walk out. 'Cause he said it was fine. Yeah, you think that would work out? They'll handcuff you and beat you to death. So, like, yeah, that's not an answer. Yeah, whatever. It's no big deal. It's business.
It's business? Like,
dude, you're running for president.
You have to defend this shit. Like, try.
Lie to me,
man. I'd love to hear your explanation and go, like, you can even make up some bullshit and go, they violated the terms of the contract, so I didn't hold up my end. You know, anything.
Yeah, look, you could lie, and by the time people figure out the truth, the debate's already over.
No.
You big dummy. So then Clinton goes on to say, in Trump's tax plan, which would blow up the debt by over $5 trillion and would in some instances disadvantage middle-class families compared to the wealthy, were to go into effect, we would lose 3.5 million jobs. And have maybe another recession. Meanwhile, she says her tax plan would create 10 million jobs, which she says she intends to get done. And then she hit Donald Trump with the fucking, you thought climate change was a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese.
No, I didn't.
His quote, I did not say that. That's literally the quote, guys. I have it right here.
Everyone dragged up the tweet and found video of him saying it, too.
Yeah. And Kellyanne Conway, to her shitty, shitty credit, trying to spin that Trump is a believer in science and that he realizes that it's it's man-made, and like he's trying to, what was it, like he was basically just saying that we need to look out for the Chinese and whether or not they're doing their job to try to fight climate change. I was like, that's not what he said. He said it was a hoax perpetrated for and by the Chinese. What does that sentence even mean? Also, China is the biggest polluters. So why would they start a rumor about climate change that would have everyone saying, hey, we need to clean up the environment when they're the biggest polluters? What's their end game?
Yeah, like make a bunch of international regulations that they have to follow. Like, got us.
Oh, son of a bitch. We hadn't thought this plan through too good. Like, I just
we're actually with the EPA, which Trump wants to eliminate, by the way.
Yep.
If anyone cares about pollution at all, just since like the 70s, when we're still not doing great, we could do a lot better, but you know, just from where we were, we're doing much better as far as like, you know, greenhouse emissions and all that shit. Like,
absolutely.
And we definitely have a long way to go, but like China is completely unregulated. Like there's, where was it when they did the Olympics and like, yeah, you can't actually go outside.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Get back inside. Can't breathe out there. Yeah. I mean, but it is just, to me, it's hilarious. Like, yeah, yeah, I know. It's perpetrated for and by the Chinese. Wait, for the Chinese? By the Chinese? Like FUBU? Like, what are you talking about, dude?
Wouldn't it have been, if you're going to say it's a hoax, wouldn't it have been by a country that's like super ahead of the curve on clean energy?
Yeah, like Singapore.
To sell their clean energy shit?
Yeah.
Not the absolute worst offender in the world.
But no one ever calls him on it and like, dude, that doesn't make any sense what you're saying. No, China. China, 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 China. That's all he says.
China.
I need my China. So then Hillary Clinton is like, Hillary Clinton, of course, responds completely reasonable and says, I think science is real, which is a crazy statement, I know, in the world of fucking Republicans. And
that's pretty out there.
Yeah. And it was funny because I'm pretty sure it was Kellyanne Conway was like, well, she didn't give her plan for global warming. You know, and it was like, well, she was giving it, but your asshole buddy kept interrupting her. So
not only is it on her website, her and Tim Kaine put out a book.
Yeah. Hello. It's right there, everybody. Like, they're not hiding in plain sight. Okay. But
I love that that's what it came down to. Like, look, nobody's talking about our shit. Nobody wants to go to my website. So here's a fucking book to read on the plane.
Yep. Look, and I read.
Somebody look at my plans.
Somebody call Sean Hannity. So then she mentioned solar panels. She's like, oh, you know, we can do things like doing solar panels. And Trump's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We tried the solar panel thing with Solyndra, which is what he was implying. Which I was kind of proud of myself that I remembered that stupid company name. And so he's like, no, we tried. What's his quote? She talks about solar panels. We invested in a solar company, our country. That was a disaster. They lost plenty of money on that. Yeah, okay. So let me break down the Solyndra thing real fast. So Solyndra was this company that won. It basically won this bid for a bunch of government funding. Like $500 million or something like that. And they basically ended up going bankrupt because they didn't manage their company well and they fucked up. And they had built their technology, these cylindrical sort of solar panels. And it was kind of a cool, wacky technology, but it seemed to be like sort of kind of working. And it failed because, you know, companies fail. Well, yeah, companies fail. Okay. And it's $500 million. Yeah, guess what, asshole? We're trying to change energy policy. We're gonna lose money while we're trying to figure it out. Like, it doesn't, you like, what kind of child thinks that you fix a problem by trying one idea, it works perfect the first time, and then there's no loss? That Republican Party ideas.
How many companies has Trump had that failed?
Thank
like
you.
He should know a lot about this.
Yeah. Like, dude, how much money did you, what about Trump Air? What about Trump vodka? What about Trump steaks?
We tried steaks. It doesn't work. No more stakes.
We Trump casinos, where you bankrupted two casinos in Atlantic City. Like, literally the motto of casinos is the house always wins, and you lost.
We tried casinos. Casinos don't work.
No, casinos. Terrible investment. Terrible.
Like, the logic of that, like, a company that did solar panels failed, so solar is not a good idea.
Yeah. I guess steak companies aren't a good idea either. Nobody's making money on vodka these days. Or airlines. Like, what are you talking about, dude?
What is vodka? It failed. It doesn't work. It's not a good investment.
Nope. Just talk to fucking Puff Daddy. He's not making anything off of that.
I mean, you know, Sega failed, so we should... I mean, video games are obviously not making money.
That's it. Yeah. Hey, some podcast didn't do well. We should probably just stop doing these. That's his logic.
No, we shouldn't.
There's more room for us in the industry now.
Daewoo didn't work out. I guess cars are a failure.
And TVs and nuclear missiles, I think we learned last week. Don't let Daewoo build your shit, dude. Don't do that.
We tried nuclear missiles. They failed.
We're going to stop.
You can't see me, but I'm doing Trump hands every time I do.
Now, which way are you doing it? Are you doing the, like, the single finger in the air thing?
No, the two out in each end, the flappy bird. We tried that, failed, and then total disaster.
So I give a lot of credit. I give a lot of credit to Cenk Uygur over the Young Turks. I watched a little bit of their post-debate coverage. And he said, he was like, look, if you notice, he was like, I hate to do the body language thing that Fox News does, but he was like, if you notice when Trump is like really on, he does like the single finger, or he's like talking like with the okay signs that he makes with his hands. But when he's flustered, he does that sort of wavy back and forth, moving his hands together thing. That's when he's flustered. It's kind of funny. Like, pay attention. It's only when he's like freaking out. So... Yeah.
So watch the entire last hour of the debate.
Yeah, because that's what he does. That's when he does it. In the beginning, he's like, he's doing the okay talking. He's like, yes. And then like he's pointing. It's like a weird, like, I'm like, what's wrong with your tiny little hands? Like, what's going on? It's confusing me. Then Trump said something that I thought was really egregious, and I had to do some investigative journalism.
My goodness.
Yeah. So he talks about the, he says, quote, the Obama administration from the time they've come in is over 230 years worth of debt, and he topped it. He doubled it in the course of almost 8 years, 7.5 years to be semi-exact. I think it would be to be exact, but okay. or just don't say exact because you don't know what you're talking about. So... I posted this in the doc.
7 years, 8 months. So, you know, he was right. Semi-exact.
He nailed it. So this is a really great article from...
call out all his lies. You have to mention the one or two times he said something semi-accurate.
Well, fair enough. So this is a great article from thebalance.com that breaks down all of the modern presidents going back to... I think it goes back to FDR. Or Woodrow Wilson, actually it just jumps to Woodrow Wilson and FDR, but then it goes to like Reagan. So they basically talk about the amount that Obama has added to the deficit, which is what Trump is talking about, but it doesn't take into account what you should really look at, which is the percentage increase. Right, so you can say, well, over 230 years, it was $8 trillion worth of debt. But what's the percentage of debt that he changed from the time he became president to now, of what it was when George W. Bush left? Right, because that's an actually important number. Just saying arbitrarily, it's a higher number. Well, yeah, it's higher because it's in the future, you idiot. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. So, to the national debt, and I don't know the date. I'm trying to find the date in which this article was actually written September 16th of this year. Okay, so it's just the other day. So the national debt grew the most dollar-wise during President Obama's term, which he's added $6.4 $9.4 trillion dollars to the debt, right? And you're like, wow, that's a fucking lot of money, Obama. You're the worst. Oh my God. But that is only an increase of 56%, right? So that's an increase of 56% to the debt from the time that he took over when George W. Bush was president. Now, George W. Bush, on the other hand, did an increase of $5.8 trillion added to the deficit, which is lower than Obama's. However, when you look at the percentage of that, hold for a chart. Fuck, where is that goddamn percentage? It's George Bush. Yeah, he did $5.8 trillion to the debt. Now, Obama did 56% increase. From Clinton's budget, George W. Bush added 101%. So, like, percentages actually fucking matter, right? You know, Franklin D. Roosevelt, my favorite president. Yes, he added $236 billion to the debt. And in today's terms, that's not a lot. But back then, that was a lot. But he increased it by more than 1,000%. 1,000%. Right? So it was literally $23 billion before he got started. Now, of course, he had to come in during the fucking Great Depression, but let's just ignore facts, right?
Well, that's the same thing with Obama, right? Like, we were hemorrhaging money when he came in. It's not like he could come in and day one plug the hole.
Right.
You know, it's like being mad at him for that is like being mad at the damage to your house, like being mad at the firefighter for the damage to your house from the fire because you didn't think he put the fire out fast enough.
Right. Or like the water damage on the house that was on fire. Dude, you ruined my floors. Yeah, the house was on fire. So
I know, but everything's all wet now.
You fucking ruined me. So, okay, so here's a couple other ones that are pretty interesting, right? So all right, let's go back to Woodrow Wilson and move forward. Woodrow Wilson added $21 billion to the debt after Taft, which was a 727% increase. Now keep in mind, Obama, 56% increase, Woodrow Wilson, 727%.
What an asshole.
Yeah, what an asshole. Warren G. Harding.
Dig that guy up. Fuck him.
Yeah. Warren G. Harding subtracted $2 billion from the debt, giving it a decrease of 7%. Calvin Coolidge.
Really?
Yeah. Warren G. Harding, man.
Warren G. Harding is like considered one of the shittiest presidents ever. Good on him.
He had 1923 and 1922, he had a $1 billion surplus both years.
Well, good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry. Your name's been dragged through the mud for 100 years.
Yeah, I'm sure there were other things he fucked up, though.
Teapot Dome? Was that him?
I think so. Calvin Coolidge, known fucking kind of a lib. Also really liked fishing, by the way. There's a great story about that if you ever want to read about it. Calvin Coolidge subtracted $5 billion from the debt, decreasing it by 26%. Herbert Hoover came in, started fucking shit up, added $6 billion to the debt, and increased it by 33%, throwing the country into the Great Depression. Then...
Can you go make an edit real quick? The Teapot Dome scandal was totally Warren G. Harding. See, now I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to edit this at all.
God damn it.
Now keep in mind, Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president for three fucking terms, which is why he absolutely increased it way more. But he increased
like 3.25.
That's true. 1934 to 1945. So he brought us out of the Great Depression and then started like kicking ass. And he increased it, like I said, 1,048%.
Well, I mean, there was also that World War II thing going on. I think that was expensive.
Irrelevant. Look, is it odd that in 1941 he increased it by $6 billion, but then in 1942 he increased it by $23 billion, and then three times that the following year? Like, nah, it's probably just a coincidence. It's probably not even worth talking about.
World War II was way over in Europe. It couldn't have had anything to do with
fucking francs or euros. Nobody knows. Harry Truman increased it by 3%.
We should have just took their oil.
Right. Fucking come on. Eisenhower increased it by 9%. Yada, yada, yada. Moving forward, by the way, JFK, 8%, which is pretty good. Richard Nixon increased it by 34%. Gerald Ford, known Republican douche, 47%. Jimmy Carter, 43%. And Jimmy Carter is so terrible. He was a terrible president. But guess who came after fucking Jimmy Carter? Ronald Reagan, who increased it by what? 186%.
Asshole.
He was the first one to break $1 trillion in debt increase. Okay? So then George H.W. Bush.
That's what
Bush.
Happens when you cut the fuck out of taxes.
Right. And then it just kept going. So when you talk about Obama increasing it by $6.4 trillion, understand what that actually means and that the percentage increase is what really matters. It's not the dollar amount. I mean, the dollar amount matters in the long scheme of things, but the percentage when you're hitting people over the head with this stuff, it matters to talk about it in context. And since he hasn't increased it by 1,000% like FDR, considered the greatest president we've ever had, yeah, go shut the fuck up, dude. Just shut up, man, because you don't know what you're talking about. See, we should be fact checkers on this, because I just need a day and a lot of free time, and I can fucking nail him. I just can't do it in real time. So then there was another thing Trump said. He was like, you go to New England, you go to Ohio, you go to Pennsylvania, you go anywhere you want, Secretary Clinton, you'll see devastation because of NAFTA. And I was like, wait, but like Allentown and like the Rust Belt, they've been the Rust Belt for like 50 years, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
What's interesting about that is Ohio and Pennsylvania. What was the other one you said?
New England.
Oh, well, that's not a state. So Ohio and Pennsylvania, their unemployment is below the national average.
Shut up. Stop using facts. excuse me. Let me interrupt you. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not true. It's not true.
Prove it. What polls? All of them?
Says who?
Says who? Says who? I love that guy. Says who? Dude, fuck you.
No, man. Seriously, they're doing fine. Unemployment's below the national average.
Yeah.
And the national average is fucking low.
It's like he doesn't give a fuck to even try.
Fuckface is literally trying to tell us that we're a third world country.
Yep.
And it's just not true.
No, it's not true at all. But look, if you go to the airports, you go to the airports in China, Dubai, they're great. Yeah, you mean where all the rich people live? Yeah, if you go to the rich parts of America, it's pretty great too.
I love that that's his only context to his airports, because he's never been anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, Newark kind of sucks, right? Yeah, well, you know, Newark's always sucked.
Yeah, dude. Trust me, that has nothing to do with anything else.
I'm sure the Secretary of State was supposed to fix that, not your boy Chris Christie, right?
Like, he's like, who? No more cookies for you. No more cookies. All right, get back on the plane and go home. He actually said that to him like he was not even a person.
Trump was talking like she has been in like complete, like omnipotent control of the country for the last 30 years. And everything wrong that's happened is her fault. In the world, actually.
Yeah.
Everything wrong that's happened in the world is her fault.
It's amazing.
Like going back to when she was the first lady, how badly could she have fucked shit up as the first lady?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. Wrong. Ladies, wrong. Yeah, all right, so let me get into another sort of policy thing, which I thought was really interesting. And I didn't know what this was, so that's why I wanted to look it up. So he says, Trump says, when he's talking about how he's going to... let me read Holt's question, and then I'll jump into Trump's response. Holt says, "All right, tell me, you know, you're basically, you know, Secretary Clinton, you're calling for a tax increase on the wealthiest Americans. I'd like you to further defend that. And Mr. Trump, you're calling for tax cuts on the wealthy. I'd like you to defend that." So Trump says, look, the wealthy are going to create jobs. You know, it's going to be great. It's going to be tremendous. I mean, he literally says they're going to create tremendous jobs. They're going to expand their companies. They're going to do a tremendous job. Look, I do a lot of writing for school. Don't use tremendous same time, you know, in back-to-back sentences, okay?
Like, I call that a trumped up trickle down.
Thank you very much. that's some trumped up logic. She should never really say that term again. It's really bad.
She should avoid jokes.
Yeah, like, look, you're the HAL 9000 running for president. Just fucking run with that. Don't try to be cool and hip. Like, just don't do that. So then he says, I'm going to get rid of the carried interest provision. And I'm like, what the fuck is the carried interest provision? He says, and if you really look, it's not a tax. It's really not a great thing for the wealthy. It's a great thing for the middle class. It's a great thing for companies to expand. And so whenever Trump says something is good for the middle class and not good for the wealthy, I immediately think this is really good for the wealthy and not for the middle class, because he's clearly lying.
Says the exact opposite of the truth all the time.
Yeah. And look, it was weird because lo and behold, I was 100% correct. And you want to talk about some shady shit? Read this article. It's from taxjusticeblog.org. It's got blog in the title, so it's probably really good, right? They wouldn't lie about it. So they have a whole article about his carried interest provision and how he's going to remove it. So basically, in layman's terms, there's this loophole where basically money managers and like hedge fund folks, like, they basically use this carried interest income loophole to basically hide their money so that they're taxed at a lower rate, and they get taxed at, instead of getting nailed at the capital gains rate of 39.6%, they get nailed at they'll end up only paying at 23.8%, right? And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's a significant amount if you're talking some serious money. So that's they use this loophole. Well, what he's saying is that carried interest rate, or that carried interest provision, he's going to get rid of that, right? So that's why he's saying, oh, look, see, this isn't good. This isn't good for rich people. So there's no loophole anymore. I fixed it. I filled the gap. And so he's basically saying, I'm going to take away this loophole, and I'm going to replace it with a regular, ordinary tax of 25%. Now, on the surface, it looks like, hey, you're killing this 23.8%, and you're basically increasing it to 25%. But that's not a lot. And now they don't even have to hide it. They never have to worry about the 39.6%. And so they can make a ton of fucking money. It's a total giveaway. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, because he's also taking that away, and he's also lowering he's lowering the corporate tax from 35% to 15%. Certain hedge fund managers can now, if they're business owners, they can now use, so in business, like, because I, like, TMP Studios is the company I own, right? It's an actual company. And so we're an LLC. So you basically, because it's an LLC, like, you can pass through, like, business money into your personal taxes. And that's how you pay for it, because we're not a certain size and what have you. So he's basically saying, like, look, if you're a hedge fund manager and you're like an LLC or something like that, you can get past the 25% that he's coming up with and use the 15% personal fucking tax. So, yeah, it's not a block to rich people. It's an absolute fucking giveaway. And they basically go on to say, like, if you think this is bad, and it sounds familiar, this is exactly what Sam Brownback did in Kansas. And he fucking bankrupted the state.
They're doing good, though, right?
Yeah. They got like a nickel and a half to rub together. And that's because...
they had to shorten the school year by 2 weeks because they couldn't afford to pay school, you know, teachers and administrators anymore.
Good. Good. That's great. Now kids learn a little less in that stupid fucking state. And they keep re-electing him. Because one day it's gonna fucking catch on. So there's your little like super wonky capital interest provision. But read the article. It's super interesting because he is basically covering for rich people and pretending that he's slamming them, but he's not slamming them. He's giving them a larger backdoor into paying almost nothing in taxes. So, gotta love it, man.
Can we talk about some of the other highlights from this debate?
Go.
Donald Trump on race.
Yeah, how about that?
So he's gonna be do great by you know, the non-whites. One of his great ideas is stop and frisk.
Yeah.
Stop and frisk, which was ruled unconstitutional.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Lion Andy.
The one time Lester Holt had to, like, actually, like, wake up and pop it was like, I think that was ruled unconstitutional. Trump says, yeah, but that was by a very against police judge.
Guess what the show title is? That, I literally, like, I was kind of on my phone. I think I was, like, live tweeting or something, and he said that. And I literally, like, looked up at the, I was like, a very against police judge? I actually wrote it. I think I still have the document open where I do. A very against, I had it in quotes because I wanted to make that the show title. I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. I was like, yeah, we're using that. I don't even understand how you can argue, because his argument against it not being constitutional was like, well, you know, it is constitutional, or it didn't get deemed unconstitutional because they didn't appeal the court case in which it was deemed unconstitutional. I was like, so that means it's unconstitutional. If you don't appeal something, then it stands. Hello? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Because it was the most obvious tool for racial profiling ever.
Yeah. I will say this. I did not care for Clinton's response about the whole thing.
No, she should have hammered him on it. It didn't fucking work.
Yeah, but she also said, she was like, look, it's, you know, I'm trying to find where that is. But yeah, she basically said, you know, it didn't work, and it wasn't efficient, and that's why it was deemed unconstitutional. No, it was deemed unconstitutional because it was a racist, it was used in a racist way to pick up black and brown kids.
No, even if it wasn't, right? You're giving away probable cause, or just you look suspicious. Right. Even if you take the racial part completely out of it and just, I think you look like you have something on you, and obviously that's going to get used for racial purposes, but you have rights as an American. You can't just get stopped and frisked because, I don't know, you look suspicious.
Yeah, that's not enough. It's not enough. And look, I see some pretty suspicious characters walking around my neighborhood. I don't get to walk up to them and like, yeah, let me check your wallet. Let me frisk you down. Like, come on, man. That it was bullshit.
You've got rights. There's due process. You can't just be stopped because, I don't know, you're wearing a big jacket.
Yeah. Like, look, I mean, we have right to search and seizure. You know, but, you know, tell that to the police chief in Baltimore City. We have a plane flying over that takes pictures of us all the time that we weren't even aware of.
Yeah, it's amazing look into your 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments and 8th and see, is that being done right now? Not really. And Trump would just shred those. Just shred them.
Yep. Who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, the Constitution. Okay, the First Amendment says I can say the N-word and not get fired. Second Amendment says I get guns.
I can shoot an N-word and not go to jail.
And the rest is all gobbledygook.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll catch you on the end. Like, whatever. Yeah, I'm
amazed at the alleged constitutionalists who are going, Trump's our guy.
It makes no sense.
Have you even read the United States Constitution?
You can borrow mine.
I will lend you my copy.
I love that guy. He should have been there. Okay. I would. You know what? If I was the Clinton campaign, I had him sitting right in the fucking front row.
Front row, just waving his Constitution around every time.
Yep. Like, this is stop and frisk is unconstitutional, and I would just look to that guy, and he'd be fucking holding it out. Like, can I borrow that?
Like a referee throwing flags. He just
he has many constitutions, just fucking throwing them at Trump's podium.
He's like a soccer ref with the red card, just holding up the Constitution. Like, have you even read the Constitution?
That voice is offensive, but I'll allow it because it's hilarious.
I was doing an impression of an actual guy.
That what? That's not how it. How is that better? It's okay. He's Pakistani. Everyone makes fun of him.
Whatever. That guy's my fucking hero.
Yeah, no, I love that guy. No, the cons were great, man. They didn't fucking back down. It was awesome.
I have used that the photo of him holding the Constitution like in so many online arguments.
Like, yeah.
Whenever somebody decides to say something that's blatantly unconstitutional, I just throw it up. Red flag.
Like, there you go. You've just been conned. Nailed. I did appreciate Hillary Clinton's statement about, I think that everybody has implicit bias. I thought that was good. Not just the police. Although I got into an online argument with somebody who told me, oh, I'm a police officer and I've gone to training so that I don't have implicit bias. All cops do. And that's how you know they don't have it. I was like, wow. So when you were trained, then that was it. All your racist shit went out the door. That's amazing. You're a fucking idiot. Like, what? You think every cop believes that?
Train that out of you.
Yeah, dude, it's inborn because you grew up in a racist society. Like... Like, come on, man. Jesus Christ. It's 2016. Do we have to explain this to every white person? Yeah, you believe fucked up shit about minorities, and we believe fucked up shit about you. Everyone does it. Except for you have guns and a job where you get to kill people for a living. That's right, the
it's
problem.
Trying to have implicit biases up to the point where you're shooting people or denying them jobs or, as came up in the debate, denying them a place to live as a landlord.
Right.
And he wandered right into that one, too.
Right. Now, it was funny because, my mom is a huge political junkie, and she calls me this morning to, like, kind of debrief about the debate, and she goes, I thought that at that moment when Hillary Clinton brought up the housing thing, she was like, instead of the housing thing, and I absolutely agree with her, she should have brought up the Central Park Five. That would have been a fucking hit on him. In a way that would have resonated way more. And it would have resonated more because it was so egregious and a lot of people don't know about it, right? So if you don't know what the Central Park Five is, Central Park Five were, and there's actually a great documentary on Netflix called The Central Park Five. And Andy, I don't think you've seen it, have you?
No, but we talked about this on the show.
Yeah. So it's just about these five black and brown kids who were falsely imprisoned for beating up and raping this white woman in the park in New York back in the 80s. And they served like 20 years in prison. While they were in prison, or when they were first arrested, Donald Trump actually took out a full page ad in the New York Times, I think, asking for them to bring back the death penalty to kill these kids. Now, they're like 13 to 16 years old. And then when they were exonerated through DNA evidence, and got out like 20 years later, 100% innocent, he doubled down and said that this was bullshit, and he basically said they did do it. So that's the mark of a racist.
Well, we know he doesn't believe in science.
Yeah, well, that's true. So
DNA, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
We tried that. It failed.
Obama paid for it with Solyndra. I don't know. So, yeah, I thought she should have brought that up. Like that, and it would have been good because people would have had to Google it.
I'm glad she brought up the thing from the 70s because a lot of people don't know that. Like, there is a very popular series of memes going around in the conservative lunatic world that nobody ever called him a racist until the campaign. The reason we know who he is on a national level outside of New York was because, like, the biggest, like, racial discrimination case in housing was against the Trumps. So I'm glad that she brought that up. And his defense was terrible. He's like, oh, yeah, they sued a lot of people. Okay.
Yeah, what did you think about when he said, "Hey, I get audited a lot. I get audited every year. I know a bunch of wealthy people who don't get audited, but I get audited every year." I was kind of like,
"Geez, I wonder."
I didn't understand why Hillary didn't hit him on that. Like, she didn't even need like a real line. She could have been like, "Gee, I wonder why that is." Like, that's it. That was a fucking home run. I was like, "It's on the tee, Hillary. It's right there." She could have fucking hit a home run on that one.
Because you do the shadiest shit ever.
Yeah, dude. That's why they keep hitting you, dude. It's not because you're Donald Trump. Like, rich people get audited from time to time, not every single year. That's insane. Yeah.
Like I said, that's why I didn't give her like full marks on this thing, because there's a bunch of stuff she should have gone after him for. But I'm glad the stuff that she did bring up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I did like the exchange where she goes, "Hey, the murder rate is actually going down in New York, even though they don't have stop and frisk." And he's like, "No, you're wrong. You're wrong." She's like, "No, I'm not." He says, "Murder's up. All right, you check it." "Yeah, I checked it, by the way. Murder's down." You can go to the show notes. Murder rate in New York is down. The last number I have is in 2012, but it is a
wrong
trend down.
You're wrong.
Yeah, numbers wrong.
Nope.
Zero. Murders. Everyone's getting murdered. I got murdered twice when I was in New York last time. God, he's the fucking worst. So any other parting things?
Just from today,
all the post shenanigans.
Trump won was trending on Twitter.
That's funny.
Oddly enough, that you can get something trending if you have a whole bunch of people tweeting about it. It all started in one place, St. Petersburg, Russia. Just kind of thought that was interesting.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yes, and the hilarious people on Twitter picked that up and ran with it. So if you would like to enjoy a good time on Twitter, check out that Trump won hashtag, Trump won, W-O-N. And then every poll where they actually talked to human beings, like the CNN poll,
right,
showed her just demolishing them, like 60-some-odd percent to like 20-whatever.
Yeah, all the internet polls.
All the internet polls, of course, said, you know, he won because the 4chan losers are swarming those things. But
one of the
that's to be expected.
One of the funny things I saw, it was like, "Hey, I think you might have left your script on too long." And it was Trump, like 3.5 million votes, and Hillary Clinton, like 67,000 votes. I was like, yeah, I think that might be a script, guys. Like, yeah, I don't think this many people voted. This seems like bullshit. All of the actual human polls, he absolutely lost 100%. One of the funniest things, and I think we'll probably end it here, is he came out today and said he was going to bring up Bill Clinton's like philandering, but Chelsea Clinton was in the audience. I'm like, one, even if she wasn't, she would have heard about it. I don't really understand the point. And also, this is the fucked up mind. He thinks that shitting on Bill Clinton for cheating on her somehow reflects poorly on her. No, it doesn't.
Right.
You idiot. Like, all she has to do is go, "Yeah, my husband made a mistake. We love each other very much. So we worked it out. I'm not really sure what this has to do with being president. But, you know, people do make mistakes in marriages. And you, of all people, should know that, Donald." And I'd look right at him until he turned fucking red, and then look at his wife, and then be like,
"Yeah,
now what?
You cheated on your first wife with your second wife, and you cheated on your second wife with your third wife. He's got no room on that one."
No, but like, I can't imagine what he thought he could accomplish by talking shit on Bill Clinton's sexcapades.
There's no way. Also, I think Hillary actually had a good line in there. She had some, you know, like we said, a few awkward ones in there. But the best one was like, he was getting on her for being over prepared for this, right?
Oh, that she took off time from the campaign trail.
Yes, right. And she said, "Yes, I prepared for this debate, just like I've been preparing to be the president." Like, how are you going to get on somebody for being prepared. How is that a negative?
Yeah. Not only did she say that, but she did that little fucking grandma shimmy, which I fucking loved. It was my favorite thing in the whole debate. I loved it, dude. Because she was like, she actually did it at a different point, actually. I'm thinking about it. But, yeah, like, are you serious? You gonna try to get on her for preparing for the debate? She's whooping your ass. Clearly it worked. He's an ass. But she did the little grandma shimmy when he said he has a better temperament.
Oh, right.
And she was just like, "Ooh, shit." Like,
she laughed in his face.
Yeah, and so did the fucking audience, which was also pretty telling.
There was an audible laugh at him saying he has a good temperament.
It's like, dude, we've been watching this shit for the last 90 minutes. What are you talking about? But yeah, I thought it was really funny when she did that little shimmy. Seth Meyer had a whole thing. He was like, that little shimmy was like your single aunt who hears single ladies come on at your wedding. She's so excited. But yeah, I mean, that was those two moments, man. Like that moment when she did that little shimmy, I was like, she's comfortable now. And from that moment on, man, she was fucking nailing. She was like fucking bebopping and scatting all over the fucking place, man. Like, he had nothing. He had nothing. He was just throwing haymakers and none of it was landing.
Yeah. I hope that's where she starts on the next one.
Yeah, I hope so too. Because that first debate she had with Bernie Sanders and fucking Jim Webb, I murdered a guy. Martin, why am I here, O'Malley? That first debate, she was fucking poised, man. Like, she was perfect. And that's what I want to see. Above the fray, got no time for you. I'm here to do a job. You were just a stepping stone to the presidency. That's what I want to see from her.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. I think that's it. This was absolutely our longest show, so this is definitely not going up for free. So that's it for us. No. Make sure you leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes. Make sure you send those feedback emails in at feedback@lookforwardshow.com. Obviously, if you're listening, you have signed up for premium content, but tell other people about it. Make sure you send them the link to the first 30 minutes. That's always on lookforwardshow.com and, of course, on all other podcatchers. So we will see.
Facebook.
Yes. Facebook.com/fans is our fan page. And of course.
No. Lookforwardshow.com.
Yes. And yes. Facebook.com.
We're having. That place is getting. I can barely keep up with it anymore. There is so much stuff. It was slow going there for a while, but that. As the kids say, it's lit.
It is, in fact, lit. I don't know what that means. So.
I'm old.
They're doing the Dougie over there, I hear. So
it's off the chain. We're,
good Lord.
It's the bomb.
We need to stop doing that. forever. Yeah, make sure you go to facebook.com/fans and also.
God damn it, Jay.
Oh, fuck. Facebook. Look. It's 11:50 here. I'm fucking tired. lookforwardshow.com/fans to join the Facebook group. It's fucking pathetic. Yeah, what time is it there? It's like 8:30.
It's almost 9.
It's almost 9. Yeah, shut up. All right. It's fucking midnight. All right, so that's it for us. We will see you guys next week. And we had a good time. So we will probably talk we'll probably talk more of the post-debate fallout because there will be more of it.
Oh, I guarantee you.
All right, man. We'll see you.
Later.
Bye.